This is a letter to a church. It's a letter to Christians in a broken world. We know that, and we rejoice in the truth that Jesus is coming back to make all things new, to make all things right. Amen? What a foundational truth that is that the church believes, taught in the Scriptures. And you know, the longer this pandemic thing goes, the longer that we see this world, all the craziness that's going on, it makes my heart say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. He's coming and the church is going to be perfect. But now, we wait. But now, we wait. We are the church in a broken world. Let me ask you this. Is it biblical for Christians to suffer? Or, some people teach this, by the way. You can find it, a lot of TV, you know, you're surfing around on the net. You can find preachers that say, if you have enough faith, you shouldn't be sick. If you have enough faith, you'll be speaking that money into that bank account. If you have enough faith, you know, all your wildest dreams will come true. And I'll fill in the blank, you know, whatever. That is a prosperity gospel, and it is a false gospel. And as we turn to 2 Corinthians, we're going to see that over and over and over every Sunday for a while. Because Paul existed in a broken world. And amen. And Paul did not call the church to pretend like everything's going to be fun and happy and comfortable, painless and problem-free. Paul preached a gospel for Christians who are suffering. And you know what? I'm probably speaking to a lot of people this morning who are suffering. Don't raise your hand, but man, is it you? Are you going through suffering? Are you in the storm? Or maybe you just came out of it. Or maybe you're getting ready to go into it and you don't know it yet. Christians live out our faith in a broken, sinful, cursed, fallen world. That's the way it is. And any gospel that tells you that if you just believe hard enough or grit your teeth or live right long enough, your life will get easier, it is a false gospel. We do not become Christians to make our lives easier. Hello? You know, it's kind of like this American gospel we hear, come to Jesus and everything will get better. Right? What would a Christian in the third world say? Right? What would a Christian in, say, North Korea or Saudi Arabia or Bhutan, what would they say? You know, their testimony might be like this. I had it all. A family, health, a good paying job. Then I became a Christian. My family turned against me and disowned me. I was fired from my job, which supported my wife and kids and also my parents and my wife's parents and my brothers and sisters. Now I'm persecuted, homeless, on the run. Do you see how different this American gospel is from the real gospel? The gospel of the Scriptures. We don't come to Jesus to make our lives easier. We come to Jesus to turn away from our sins and flee from the wrath of God that's on us. We come to Jesus because it is right. He is worthy. We come to Jesus because God has loved us and He cleanses us and washes us. But Christians suffer in a broken world while we wait on the glory to come. But Christians have something that non-believers do not have. Everybody's going to suffer, but Christians have something the world does not have. In our suffering, we are not alone. We have a beautiful gospel in this messed up world. Let's read our text this morning. This is one of the most beloved texts in the Bible. So comforting. In fact, I want you to count as we read this text together, count with me how many times Paul uses the word comfort. All right? You ready? Let's read together. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. Hey, how's that for a sentence, Christian? Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. How many times did you see the word comfort in there? 10 times. 6 times as a noun, 4 times as a verb. 10 times Paul uses the word comfort in these few verses. How about that's a little tip-off that he's talking about comfort. Now, if I also asked you to count, how many times did you see the word affliction or suffering? That's in there a handful of times as well. This morning, we are going to talk about Christians and suffering. Excuse me. This passage, in fact, this entire book of the Bible, 2 Corinthians, deals with Christians and suffering. Now, as I said, there are some Christians who say if we have enough faith, we're not going to suffer. We've already said that's false. But you know, there are other people who think that Christians believe that God is going to make life easier for us if we become Christians. That is not the case, and this passage proves it. Everyone in life suffers, whether they're a Christian or not. Suffering is simply part of the experience of life in a broken, sinful world under the curse of God. But what this passage gives us, and really 2 Corinthians as a whole gives us, is a Christian theology of suffering. How are we to think about suffering rightly? Very important. You know, if you think of suffering wrongly, if you have a bad theology of suffering, what are you going to do when your life falls apart? What is a person going to do if they were told that when you become a Christian, your life's going to be easier, so they become a Christian, quote unquote, they pray that prayer, they get dunked in water, and they're waiting for their wildest dreams to come true, and then their life falls apart and God doesn't fix it all. What is that person going to do? Most likely, they're going to give up on the faith, right? They're going to give themselves to despair. They're going to say, this is not what I signed up for. God, my family was falling apart. I asked you to fix it. You didn't fix it. I put my faith on that promotion at work and the Lord or the boss gave it to the non-believer. What are you going to do when your world falls apart? You need a theology of suffering. Amen? And I do too. Paul gives us, as George Guthrie says, he models a proper Christian response to suffering in this passage. Both Christians and non-Christians are going to suffer. The difference is in our response. How do you respond to suffering? Now, what my main premise is here today is that the gospel of Jesus Christ makes a difference in how we respond to suffering. The gospel means that Christians respond to suffering differently than non-Christians. Now, let me put something up here on the screen for you. Let's look at this. We do not show the world that we're Christians by escaping from suffering. We show the world that we're Christians by enduring suffering well through the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Hey, y'all with me this morning? We do not show the world that God is beautiful and glorious by escaping from suffering. We show the world that God is glorious when we can endure suffering by His help. So our goal is not to escape from suffering however I can. Now, a lot of Christians don't understand that. We come when we have prayer meetings. What are 99% of the prayer requests? Escaping from suffering. My toe hurts. Pray that it'll stop hurting. This. Pray that this. We want to get out of suffering, and that's normal. Self-preservation, right? But it is not God's will to always cause Christians to escape from suffering. Sometimes you're suffering because that's right where God has you. And you don't need God to take away that suffering. You need God to work in your heart and help you endure that suffering well for His glory. And that's not fun to preach about. That's not fun to hear, is it? We need God to equip us for suffering, not to help us escape from suffering. I recently read a testimony from a Christian musician that was encouraging to me. Kevin McKeon is his name. You may know him better as Toby Mac. Anybody remember Toby Mac? And the Mac is back, no slack, on a DC track that's jacked beyond comprehension. I believe that I failed to mention that. There's a lack of recognition when it comes to his position. This is what I listened to when I was in my teen years. Toby Mac. And in 2019, Toby Mac lost his 21-year-old son. I can't fathom what he felt. Unexpected cardiac arrest at home. 21 years old. Truett McKeon died. Toby and his wife put out a statement at the death of their son. Christians in suffering. Listen to what he said. My wife and I would want the world to know this. We don't follow God because we have some sort of under-the-table deal with Him, like, we'll follow you if you bless us. We follow God because we love Him. It's our honor. He is the God of the hills and the valleys, and He is beautiful above all things. We don't follow God, he said, because we've got this under-the-table deal with God. I'm a Christian, so you're going to make my life easier. At the death of his adult son, Toby and his wife were able to articulate that we will still follow the Lord even though we are suffering. That is amazing. That is the beauty of the gospel. Amen? That is what the world can look at and say, wow, I wish I had that. Amen? In today's passage that we just read, we see how the gospel makes a difference for Christians in how we should respond to suffering in a broken world. We see how our faith in the gospel of Jesus helps us endure suffering in three ways. And I'm just going to break this passage down. Here is how Christians can endure suffering because of the gospel. Number one, by praising God in the suffering. How does Paul start this passage? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I want you to know when Paul wrote this letter, he was hurting. He was suffering. This Corinthian church had sold him out to false apostles who said that Paul is not worthy to be an apostle. He suffers too much. He's in jail half the time. right? He's unimpressive in his public speaking. He's weak, he's poor, he's homeless. And the church that Paul planted turned against Paul to follow these prosperity gospel teachers of their day. And Paul went to them to straighten it out, and he was attacked. It hurt him so badly, he left. And he wrote this painful letter. Most of the church repented. Now he's trying to repair this relationship. He wrote this letter while he was hurting, and he starts the letter not by griping, not by complaining, not by saying, you know, why, oh Lord, woe is me. He starts out praising God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. I'm telling you this morning that the gospel helps Christians endure suffering, number one, by calling us to praise God in the suffering. Christians are not like the world because we have God. Where are you going to turn if you don't have God when your life falls apart? You're going to retreat inward. You're going to put your hope in things in this world which are passing away. You're going to put your hope in friends who are up and down, fickle. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, Psalms says, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Christians have God. Our lives are centered around faith in the living Creator God. Which God? Paul gets specific. You see, a lot of times today, people say, yeah, I believe in God, and they make up their own generic God. The God of the Bible is a specific God. Who is He? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God we serve. The God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the God that Christians worship. We serve the God who gave His Son, who has revealed Himself in Scripture as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the difference the gospel makes. We have God and His Son. We have a God who gave His Son not to an easy life. Jesus did not come to this world and bypass the pain, did He? What did Jesus do? How did He live? He experienced our suffering. He knows what it feels like to have good friends betray you. Good friends run away from you the night of your biggest need. Hey, tonight all of you are going to fall away, run away from me. Peter, though these other guys may run away from you, Lord, I will never run away with you. I will die with you if I have to. Peter, I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. No, I won't. Yes, He will. Jesus knows suffering. Our God is familiar with suffering. And listen to me, we have God with us in the suffering. The God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is also our Father. Look at verse 2 from last week. Grace to you and peace from God, what? Read it, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God, not the Father, God what? Our Father. Whose Father? Our Father. That's important, right? God is not just the Father. When you come to Him through Jesus Christ, He is your Father. He is our Father. What does that mean, that God is our Father? It means He loves us. It means He cares for us. And when He allows us to walk through suffering, we're not alone. Our Father is with us. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father in heaven. We're not alone. Christians, the gospel means we can endure suffering by praising our God. Even in our suffering, we have our Father. The word Father here means source. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God is the source of the mercy and comfort we need in times of loss. Amen? See, the gospel makes us different. We are those who can lift up our eyes right in the middle of gut-wrenching loss and worship the Lord. An unbeliever can't do that. Listen to me. A lot of people who go to church every week can't do that. I'll worship you when it's good, but when I don't think you're answering my prayers the way you should, why am I going to worship you then? See, that's someone, they go to church, they're not saved. A believer loves God when it's good, when it's bad. Amen? The best example I can give you here is Job, who lost all 10 of his children in one day. And everything he had, and there in that moment of unimaginable pain and suffering, Job fell down and worshiped God. The Lord gave, he said, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. The Father of mercies. The God of all comfort. Job asked his wife, shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil also? We, because of the gospel, we the church are those who can praise Him in the storm. And I want to tell you that when the world sees us suffering, listen to me, when your coworkers see you crushed and still praising God, that will speak volumes to them about the beauty of your God. Not when they see you avoiding suffering because God is somehow shielding you because you're His, you're following Him, so He's giving you a special cut. That doesn't make God look glorious. What makes God look glorious is when He allows you to be crushed and you still sing to Him. Is this for anybody this morning? Are you going to praise Him in the pain? The second thing we see in this passage, how does the gospel make Christians endure suffering? Number one, by calling us to praise God in the suffering. But number two, by helping us to receive God's comfort and get back up again. What does Paul say next? After he gets through praising God, blessed be the God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who does what? Who comforts us in all our affliction. What makes you different from the world? Number one, you can praise God in the storm. Number two, you can receive resources from God by faith that will help you weather the storm. Amen? Come on, help me this morning. This is good. You are not only able to praise God in the storm, you are enabled by the gospel to weather the storm. We still hurt as Christians, amen? We still suffer the loss. But because we have the Lord, because we have the gospel, we receive God's resources that we don't have. We receive patience when we need patience. We receive strength. And yes, as this passage says, comfort in our affliction. The gospel helps Christians endure suffering by giving us faith to receive God's comfort and then get back up again and keep going. The world is watching us. They will see how different we are when we suffer. But instead of giving up and running away from God, we run to God in the suffering and receive His comfort and strength to endure, to persevere. Man, when your coworkers, when your neighbors, when your classmates, when your spouse, when your children see you suffering and getting down on your knees and opening your Bible and receiving comfort from God to get up and keep going, that impacts them more than your words a lot of times. Amen? When they see, when your children see, my mom, my dad hurt just like everybody else, but the secret of their strength is their God, their relationship with Christ. When people see you suffering and enduring well, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. But a lot of times we respond just like the world does. We whine about it. We gripe about it. We look for a way out. And you know what? Sometimes God provides a way out. Amen? It's not supposed to hurt 24/7, all your whole life. It's going to be scattered around in there probably. I don't know. God may have a special plan for you where it hurts 24/7. It's not coming from a cruel heart, but a father heart who wants you to find refuge in Him. But God sometimes gives us the way out, but most of the time, He glorifies Himself by helping us endure. Let me say it this way. God's love for us as Christians is not always shown by shielding us from suffering. But God's special love for us is shown in His sharing of our suffering. When did God ever share your suffering? At the cross. At the cross, Jesus stepped into your shame, your guilt, as if He had committed it. At the cross, Jesus took our infirmities, our sin, our suffering, He bore it, guys. I mean, He was so moved just thinking about going to the cross and taking God's wrath that His capillaries were bursting in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed. Luke, the physician, the doctor, said that He was sweating drops of blood. Have you ever been that anxious? Christ was about to go into the darkness of the storm of the wrath of God. No one's ever come out of there alive. His friends fell asleep on Him. Soldiers came. We know what happened. The whips, the pain, the cross. But worse than all of it was the darkness as the Father turned His back and placed our sin upon His sinless Son. And there in the storm, Jesus suffered. God does not show us that we're His special people by shielding us from suffering. God shows us we're His special people by sharing in our suffering. Hallelujah! And you know what? The cross is not the only time where God shared your suffering. He shares it each day by comforting us in it. We're not alone in our suffering. God is there and He comforts us, Paul says, in all our affliction. Amen? You see it? We see the word comfort here. Again, it was used 10 times by Paul. This comfort, when you look up in the Greek and what does this word comfort mean, it's not a weak comfort. You know, it's not just an emotional, shallow kind of there, pat on the back. Sometimes we need that. But you know what? When you're facing the things that you and I are going to face in this life, we need more than a pat on the back. Hang in there, buddy. Amen? The comfort God gives us is deep. It's a strong comfort. In fact, the English word comfort, the word fort, is in there. It fortifies. Amen? God puts some steel in our spine, to borrow John Piper's metaphor, so that we can get back up and keep hurting for His glory. Truthfully. To keep standing in the hurricane. God gives us strength to endure. That's what comfort means. To get up and keep serving Him. Comfort in all our affliction. What does the word affliction mean? It means distress, trouble, oppression, or tribulation. The word for affliction has to do with pressure that you feel. Anybody feeling any pressure from the outside? Most of the time this word is used, or a lot of times, it has to do with ministry-related pressure. the affliction that you go through for being a Christian. You see, there's two kinds of suffering we have to face. One is normal suffering that everybody has to endure. Like you get sick, you get fired, you get hurt, somebody wounds you. Christian, non-Christian, we all experience that. But you know, there's a special kind of suffering that just Christians go through. When we suffer because we're a Christian, persecution. Everybody laughs at you at school, young people, because you take a stand for Jesus. You get fired from your job because the boss wants you to do something under the table. You take a stand for the Lord. There is a special kind of suffering that we go through for being a Christian. Everybody's laughing at the dirty joke. You just kind of walk away. There is a special kind of suffering that we endure. Did you know that because we are Christians, we will not suffer less? In fact, we will actually suffer more because we are Christians. I hate to break that to you this morning. We will suffer the normal stuff plus the persecution of being Christians. We see Paul writes in verse 6, look what he says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings." Wait a second. Yeah, we are the people who are going to share in Jesus' sufferings. What does that mean? That's when we are persecuted, when we suffer because we have taken on the name of Christ. Do you know what the word Christian means? We have taken on the name of Christ. What did they do to Christ? Was the world glad to see the Son of God when He broke into our world down here? Did they throw a party for Jesus, you know, and just the whole world bow and repent and become Christians and followers of Jesus? No, they murdered Him. They murdered Him. And Jesus said, "Come follow Me, guys." What do we think they're going to do to us? They murdered the one we follow. Think of the reality of our situation. We are in a world that is hostile to God. They're not going to be happy to see you coming with the gospel. They hate God. We did too when we were born, right? All men are naturally turned away from God. We are sinners. We are rebels. We are enemies of God. When God's love through the gospel conquers our animosity against God, when God melts our hatred through the cross and we become Christians, we are brought from darkness to light, but the darkness still hates Christ, and the darkness will hate you as you shine His light. You will suffer more. The more you shine the light, the darkness is going to hate it. They're either going to get converted or they're going to persecute you. There's your two options. When we preach the real gospel, people are either going to get converted or they're going to hate it. Right? You see, sometimes in the Bible when people preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit moved and everybody got saved. Peter on the day of Pentecost. He got up on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit filled him. Sound of a mighty wind. A crowd comes. "What's going on? Are you guys drunk?" "No, man, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the Holy Spirit." And then He looked at him and said, "You killed the Lord of glory." That's that Holy Spirit inspired preaching. Right? He didn't say, "I got 7 principles for how to, you know, save more money in life." No, He said, "You killed the Lord of glory," and God raised him up. Uh-oh, you're in trouble now. They were cut to the heart and they said, "What do we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus." But you see, a few weeks later, Stephen also preached to a crowd. What response did he get? Did everybody, "Oh, Stephen, we love you, man. You're an eloquent preacher." Or did they all get converted on the spot? No, they took up rocks and they pounded his head until his skull was crushed. Nice sermon. And as he fell to the ground and died, he looked up and God let him see Jesus standing by the right hand of God. And he said, "Lord, don't lay this sin against their charge." And he said, "Jesus, receive my spirit." And he died. You see what I'm saying? We will face suffering because we are Christians. But good news. Paul says, as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, we also share abundantly in His comfort. The same God who allows us to suffer is the God who gives us comfort. So you don't become a Christian to make your life easier or to avoid suffering. You become a Christian to flee from the wrath of God in Christ. You become a Christian to love Him. Now, earlier I said that the word Father in this passage means the source. God is the source of mercy. He's the source of comfort. But who is the channel that comfort flows through? Christ. Do you see? We share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, but also this mercy and comfort from our Father flows to us through the channel, the pipe of Christ and the gospel. And so as we cling to Jesus, we receive comfort. So what do we got so far? Christians endure suffering differently from the world. Number one, the gospel makes us endure suffering by praising Him in the storm. Number two, the gospel helps us receive comfort from God. But number three, this is surprising. Christians can endure suffering by doing what? By serving God's people. Whoa, wait. Preacher, are you telling me that while I'm hurting, I'm supposed to think about other people? That's what he says. In fact, how many verses did Paul give us on praising God in the storm? One. How many verses did Paul give us in this passage about receiving comfort for ourselves? One half of a verse. The rest of these verses are about now that you receive comfort from God, now you look away from yourself and you give that comfort that you just got from God to other Christians who are suffering. How are Christians different from the world? Here's how. When we suffer, we go to church and serve the church. Oh man! That takes a miracle because by nature, we retreat when we hurt. We go crawl in a cave and lick our wounds. You know what I'm talking about. The first thing you want to do when you're suffering is not go to church. But what does Paul say here? We bless God. We receive comfort. Look at verse 4. I'm not making this up. Who comforts us in all our affliction. And I highlighted this for you. So that. That's a purpose clause. Little grammar. It's a purpose clause. God comforts us. Why? Because we're just so irresistible and He can't help Himself. No. God comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others. And the passage is talking about Christians. Christians are different from the world. When we hurt, we receive strength from our God as we praise Him, and then we go to church and we serve out of our weakness. We serve in our pain because there's other people hurting besides me. I don't want to hear that when I'm suffering, do you? When I'm hurting, I want the whole world to stop and come take care of me. I'm just being honest. Ask Kim. She'll tell you. When I'm hurting, I want everybody to know that I'm hurting. I want them to come help me. What does God want me to do? As your pastor, what does God want me to do when I'm hurting? Am I supposed to press pause on my ministry to you when I'm hurting? What? That was a little too... too affirming. I am supposed to pour myself out for God's people even when I can't do it in my own strength. Now, Paul is telling us this. Paul put his money where his mouth was. He's talking about himself in this passage. He's saying, hey guys, you just cut my heart out. Yay! You just betrayed me. But God comforted me and now I'm coming to comfort you. The ones that just hurt me. That takes the gospel. That doesn't just naturally happen, does it? But we are a people who love our enemies. We are a people who say, Father, forgive them while they're driving a nail through your wrist. Hello? We are the ones who pour ourselves out for others when really we're hurting ourselves. And a lot of times it's through serving others that God is going to help you get through it. Did you know that? God will bless you as you look past your pain. Take your eyes off yourself. I know that sounds like I'm being cruel, but I'm preaching to myself too. Here's what it comes down to, guys. We're all hurting. We are all hurting, not just you. We all are going through things in our families, in our lives. We need God's grace, and we all need to give that grace to each other. One way Christians are different from the world is when we suffer, we will serve out of our suffering. That's what Paul is teaching us here. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort that we just got from God. Did you notice that this entire passage assumes that Christians are going to be in a church? This is one of those hundreds of scripture passages that doesn't come right out and say, hey, Christians go to church. That's what we do. But it implies it. It assumes it. It indirectly teaches it. Because you can't obey this passage if you don't go to church. You cannot receive comfort from God and then go comfort everybody else in your church if you're not in the church. God is allowing you to hurt so that He can give you comfort so that you can help the others who are hurting. That's one purpose for your pain. God has allowed your deep cuts and wounds because there's other people with deep cuts and wounds and He wants you to help them. And you can't help them unless you suffer a little bit too. And so God is knocking us all around in here, but instead of running away from God, running away from each other, we are to run to God, receive our comfort, run to each other, and pass it on. That's what the Word here is saying to do. Because God has not called us to go through our suffering alone. He has put us in a spiritual family of other disciples. We have brothers and sisters. We are accountable to them. We owe them our ministry. You have a gift of the Spirit that I don't have. I need your ministry as much as you need mine. We need each other's. We are a body, not an organization with a CEO. A body. A family. And you say, but I can't serve when I'm hurting. Are you going to wait till you get to heaven to start serving the church? We won't need it then. The only time that you can forgive people that hurt you is when they hurt you. The only time you can serve an incomplete, messy, sinful church is before heaven. Don't wait till you are 100% healed, because you're never going to get there until Jesus comes back. Now, yeah, when you're right in the midst of some pain that just happened, you might, yeah, you need some time. But don't take too long. Amen? We need you. I love what Jowett said. Jowett. God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Why can't I ever come up with stuff like that? This passage assumes that Christians go to church and love each other and actually give a care about each other. This passage assumes that we're going to get hurt and we're going to get healed and we're going to help each other. And you know, Paul really drives it home in verse 6. Look at this. And Paul's talking, this we is Paul and his ministry team. If we are afflicted, who's it for? It's for your comfort. He's talking to you Corinthians. Zero in with me here. Don't give up. Paul says, hey, if God lets me get hurt, it's all right. Amen. All right. We're a family. We got kids in the house. Amen. It's good. Man. Listen, look at this. If I get hurt, Paul says it's for you. You need to hear this. Some of you are going to say, why did I get hurt? God, you're teaching me a lesson. Well, He may be, but He's teaching somebody else a lesson through you. Paul says, if I get afflicted, it's for your comfort. And if I get comforted, that's also for your comfort. Do you see this? Nothing is for me. If God blesses me, that's so I will share my blessings with the church. And if God lets me get hurt, that's so I'll share my comfort with the church. Whatever I get, it's for you. Whatever we get as Christians, we're meant to pass it on. God doesn't give us anything to hang on to. That's what the world does. More money I get, more money I hoard. Yeah? That's worldliness. Kingdom economics, all right? God gives me so I can, yeah, I'm going to use some in my family and be blessed, but a lot of it's going to flow out from me to others. Not just with money, guys. When God blesses you, you share it with your church. And when God lets you get hurt, He's giving you weakness to give you strength so that you will pass that on to the church. Now, again, the big example of this is going to happen later in 2 Corinthians. It's probably going to be a lot of time before we get there. But chapter 12, Paul's thorn in his side. He asked God to take it away, and God said, no, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul said, this is what I learned. I'm not going to run away from suffering. I'm not going to be ashamed of my weakness. I'm going to rejoice in my sufferings. I'm going to rejoice in my weakness, because that's when God's strength flows through me to help others. We have a beautiful gospel in a broken world. Amen? We have grace that makes us different from the world. And Paul concludes with verse 7. Look at this. Oh, wait. Before we get to that, a couple of verses, because a lot of people say, well, I want to suffer for Jesus, but I don't want to suffer for the church. Paul says, I suffer everything for the sake of the elect, that they may receive the salvation. And another one, I found this in our Bible reading plan in Colossians this past week. Colossians 1, 24 and 25. Look at Paul. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. The church at Colossae. I'm suffering for your sake. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Christ suffered on the cross, but there's still some more suffering to be done for the church. Not to save the church, but to serve the church. So Paul says, I'm suffering for the church just like Jesus did. And this stewardship was given to me for you. And so I want to tell you this morning, Jesus suffered to save the church. But we suffer to serve the church. Amen. These words are for us, not just the Corinthians. Look at verse 7. Let's close up here. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in our comfort. Real quick, a little bit more Greek here. The word share in Greek comes from the word for koinonia, which is fellowship. The word fellowship doesn't mean we have coffee together or donuts. You know, I'm all for that. There's some rumblings in the body to bring that back. We're wading through that. Amen. Lord's timing. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But fellowship is not just when we sit around and have snacks together. You know what fellowship is? It's sharing of this life together. Did you know that's what fellowship means? We share. Paul is saying in the church, we share our sufferings and we share our comfort. Amen? That's good stuff. So we'll close up shop now. There's a lot more we could say, but Christians are different from the world. We respond to suffering as Christians differently than the world responds to suffering. Now, we're all going to suffer in this life. The difference is how we face it. We have something the world does not have. We have a beautiful gospel that encourages us and strengthens us to get back up and keep serving God. We have a good and loving Father who cares for us. And we have a church family to share it with. That is what this passage teaches. And so I sum all this up by saying Christians are not meant to retreat from God and the church during suffering, but to run to God in suffering and relay His comfort to the church by serving them even while we are suffering. So how is God directing you to respond to this message this morning? Let me look at those three things we broke down. Are you praising God in the storm? Are you praising God in your suffering, or are you focusing on the suffering? Your mouth is going to be moving when you hurt. It's either going to be griping and whining and complaining and blowing up how big your suffering is, or your mouth is going to be praising God and seeing how big He is. Amen? We need to stop the complaining and the whining if that's what we're doing. We're prone to it, all of us. We need to shut our mouths from that. That's not telling the world how glorious Jesus is. Amen? That's not telling them we're glad to be Christians. When we gripe about everything, well, guess what? God allowed it to happen, so you're griping about Him. Quit it. Amen? But if we're going to run our mouths, let's open it up and say what Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that doesn't change even when we suffer. Amen? He gives. He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you praising Him in your storm? Number two, are you receiving His comfort or are you running away from God? You guys remember that old saying, you know, the same sun that hardens a brick melts butter. The same sun has two different effects on two different kinds of people, right? The same kind of suffering will make one person bitter against God and another person run to God and receive comfort. Do you see? Watch out for bitterness in your suffering. Are you receiving comfort from God? Well, I'm not reading my Bible. I hadn't really been praying. I hadn't been going to church. How are you going to get comfort? Right? When we isolate from the means of grace, that is the preached word, the fellowship of the church, how are we going to get comfort? There ain't no comfort out there in the world. God's going to pour that comfort out. Run to Him. Don't isolate. Run to God and His people. Are you receiving comfort from God in your suffering? Do you know that's your responsibility to seek healing when you get hurt? Don't let your wounds fester and get infected and then come pour that out on other people. You take your hurts to the cross. That's an act of faith. Right? I believe the gospel, so I'm going to stop being mad at God and I'm going to come look at where He poured His anger on the cross for me. That'll melt you. Lay it down right there. And the last question I have for application: are you giving comfort and ministry to your church family even in your time of suffering? Or are you focused on yourself? Man, I know that's hard. But God wants us to look out from ourselves and trust that as I'm helping heal others, God is going to heal me. Man, let's pray. Oh Lord, our Father, You are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You comfort us in all our afflictions so that we can comfort others in their afflictions with the comfort that we have received from You. What a passage. What a message that You've given us in Your Word today, Father. We are a people who go through suffering, and God, we don't want to look like the world. You've made us different. You've called us out of the world to be the special people of God. So, Father, we can't do this on our own. Give us grace today to respond to suffering as a Christian. To praise You through the storm, O God. To receive by faith our healing and comfort. And then, Father, finally, to serve others and pour that comfort on other people. God, help us. Let this gospel be beautiful in our lives. Let people see the difference in us and let them glorify You, O God, our Father. We give thanks to You, Lord. We humble ourselves this morning. Father, I pray for anyone watching this or listening to this who are not a Christian. They are alone in their suffering. They don't have these resources. Father, I pray You'll show them today that we don't come to become a Christian to make our lives easier, but to run away from our sins and find forgiveness in our God, in Christ. I pray that You will help people to repent and turn to Jesus, to see the Christ, the Son of God, who suffered for us. Finally, Father, I pray for all those who are going through extreme measures of suffering today. I ask You to communicate comfort to them through Your Word. Not just a pat on the back, but a fortification, a edification, a strengthening that they can get back up and keep going in the strength of God. Thank You that You have not abandoned us in our pain, O God, but You have stepped into our pain to share it with us and to help us come through it for Your glory. And thank You that ultimately we will live in a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no suffering and no pain. Father, blessed be Your name. The God who gives and takes away.